Monday we were welcoming the first visitors to Tasmania who were bringing their cars into the state on the Spirits of Tasmania for free under the eligibility criteria. I've been meeting with forestry businesses to talk about how best we can support what is the world's best forest industry to grow into the future, and of course a whole range of constituent meetings. I went to Business Northwest breakfast this morning and heard from the head of the Cradle Coast Authority and caught up with some local business operators there. Been up to Smithton as well for some further meetings. So out and about in what is the most beautiful part of Australia and indeed Tasmania.
You've covered some ground, haven't you? On Monday you mentioned the Bass Strait Vehicle Equalisation Scheme, which started on from the 1st of March. And understand the bookings have been fairly heavy. This is, of course, getting your car on the boat for free. And the question's been asked, you know, it's a three-month deal at the moment, but the government are sort of open to the idea of maybe extending it depending on the circumstances.
Yeah, so look, demand has been heavy, and that's exactly what we wanted to have happen. We wanted to make sure that given bookings on the Spirit of Tasmania for the period of time we were talking about were down 85% on the last year, so from the 1st of March, which was Monday of this week, through to the 30th of June, which is the shoulder season as numbers start to taper off from your ordinary busy summer months, we wanted to stimulate demand. So that 240 return subsidy, if you're bringing a car or some sort of vehicle, has definitely hit the mark. So, look, all of these measures, like JobKeeper, like the supplement to JobSeeker, and a range of other measures that were put in place, they were temporary targeted measures. What we want to do is we want to make sure that those supports continue until they are no longer needed. So working with those who are affected, in this case, the Tassie tourism industry and the state government who manage the TT line, we'll see what the future looks like, what bookings are like into the future, and have that conversation with the industry if we need to look at continuing.
I've heard from people that it's very difficult to get onto the boat to get out of Tasmania at the moment because it's fairly heavily booked, and on the return from Victoria up until, I guess, Monday, it hasn't been anywhere near full. And I guess now that they've got that subsidy going, we might see some fuller voyages from Melbourne to Devonport, but it's very difficult to get on at the moment to leave Tasmania.
Yeah, which is, I guess, something that does happen from time to time, and it depends on what sort of we have going on. If there are specific holidays coming up, I know there is a long weekend coming up, which might have precipitated expanded bookings and the like. Based on what I'm told, though, for instance, there were, I think it was almost 14,000 bookings this month made as a result of the expanded subsidy for free car travel. And that has really probably filled the boat up at a time when they needed it. And as I said on your program previously, Martin, we know that those people who do come on the Spirit bringing their car, they stay twice as long and they spend twice as much. So having those people here is a good thing. The Spirits are a vital service, and you know, both for freight and for passengers, tourists who come here and spend their money, but also for Tasmanians who do want to go to the mainland. So, look, at least people are staying in Australia and spending their money here while those borders are closed, but I'd love to see more people coming across from the mainland to Tassie rather than the other way.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see the boats full in both directions, but then it makes it difficult, as I say, if you want to get on. The Bob Brown Foundation have been up to their tricks again. They were at a sawmill, I think, in New Norfolk earlier this week.
Yeah, my mates are back at it. The Bob Brown Foundation have taken things to, I guess, another new low. I mean, we've previously talked about how you know, there are elements within the environmental movement that will stop at nothing to try and really, really hammer this very proud industry, and we've seen all sorts of antics deployed. This time they're targeting family-owned businesses. McKay's Timber down south, an amazing business. They are world leaders when it comes to using sustainably harvested native timbers here. We manage our native forests better than anywhere else in the world. There is not another country that comes anywhere near to the management standards we have. We replant all the trees that we harvest. We manage threatened species, and we have a premium product as a result. And McKay's, who employ several very hard-working, honest men and women, just want to go about their jobs. They were under attack on Monday by a number of Bob Brown Foundation protesters peddling mistruths, locking themselves onto machinery and bits of equipment and preventing work from happening, endangering their own lives and their own health and safety and those of the employees in this business. And so The sad reality is they send a negative message, a false message, about a very proud industry. And I am really pleased to be working with colleagues like Michael Sukar, the Assistant Treasurer in Canberra, about looking at the charity status of organisations like the Bob Brown Foundation.
Yes, it's been questioned before, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when people make a donation to a charity, you expect that funding to go to organisations that actually do good things, that actually help people, that actually make the world a better place. Unfortunately, what we're seeing here are people, I believe, breaking the law and endangering life and safety of others. This is not charitable work. That is not good messages to be sending to anyone in the community. And so I think on that basis, we should need to be looking at their charity status and removing it if we can, because for too long they have been penalising good, honest, hardworking men and women just wanting to do their jobs trying to make money out of it at the same time through receiving tax-free donations.
You know what will happen if they get their status taken away from them? They'll challenge it, of course, and take it to the Supreme Court, as they do with most things, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly right. Sadly, they will not give up without a fight. And look, I'm all for peaceful protest, please. You know, go and stand on Parliament House lawn. Go and stand outside my office and protest all you like, but do it in a law-abiding
way. Well, even go and stand out the gates of a timber place, but don't go into the workplace and stop work.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. The way they do it is provocative, it is dangerous, and indeed against the spirit of what any normal Australian would expect an organisation like this to do. They are militant activists and they are endangering lives and indeed our economy when they do this sort of stuff.
Yeah, and it's a wonder, you know, I think the people the workers that they're stopping, and they have to be, you know, applauded for their patience and their control, because if it was my workplace and they came in here and tried to stop me from working, I probably wouldn't take it too much without, you know, I'd get pretty upset with them, and I might do something I could end up in court for. So I think there's a wonderful restraint from the people that are being put in these situations.
Well, indeed, and in addition to that too, these people go home and there's news coverage at night of, you know, Jenny Weber and Bob Brown talking about how they're saving the world by doing this sort of thing. Well, it vilifies these people you've just talked about, the ones who are doing their legal jobs, just seeking to go to work and earn money to pay the mortgage. They're doing nothing wrong. And in fact, they're doing a very good job, a world-leading job when it comes to forestry. And yet these people, you know, after having sipped their latte in Salamanca, go out and attack these hard-working, honest people the way they do. It's outrageous, and we need to put an end to it as best we can.
Now, let's talk about JobKeeper, Jono. It runs out at the end of this month, I believe. There's obviously a few organisations that have made decent profits, but I asked the Treasurer this when he was on the coast on Monday, actually, about asking for some of them to pay it back, and it's not covered by the legislation when it was put in place. But the JobKeeper will wind back to zero by the end of this month.
Yeah, that's right. Look, as I mentioned before, the temporary and targeted nature of the supports is something that we have to remember in all of this. It was always going to be difficult. People have, for good reason, in many cases, come to rely on that support from government. But as has been modelled by various institutions, private and public, keeping JobKeeper flowing will hurt the economy. One, because there's a disincentive for some to re-enter the workforce, but also, two, the cost of running the program to the taxpayer is significant, and we need to ensure that we are prudent with that finite resource, which is taxpayers' money. Having said that, though, with that support winding up and as jobs back on the market, with job ads increasing in number, with businesses reopening and life heading back to some semblance of normal, JobKeeper has in many respects become less necessary than it was at the height of the pandemic and the lockdowns that we've seen. We have, though, expanded and extended the job seeker payment, as was announced in the last couple of weeks by the government, $50 extra per fortnight, lifting the rate of job seeker, and expanding the eligibility criteria for it as well for a period of time. So there have been a few concessions made to try in recognition of the fact that we are in very tough times. But what we do want to do is, for those who can, we want them to get back to work. We want them to have the best form of welfare, which is a source of employment. Not everyone can, and so we do have those supports available through the various payments that are on offer.
Yeah, just you touched on the JobSeeker increase, $50 a fortnight. The reaction to that, I think, has been fairly negative, though, from right around the country. A lot of people are saying it's not enough.
Look, there has been mixed reactions to it, and, you know, the expanded payment, the extended payment was put in place in part to try and assist with increased costs of living. We have to remember, though, that there are a number of supplements that are provided in addition to the basic JobSeeker payment. Very, very few people, as I understand it, are simply on the JobSeeker payment. They have various supplements related to other costs like rental assistance and the like. So there are other supports available there that people are eligible for and can take advantage of. But again, I mean, the reality is we want as many people who can to go back to work. JobSeeker is just that. It is a payment to assist people to find work, because in this country, people are at their best when they're realising their full potential, and if they can, they should. This payment is to help people out while they are out of work, not to support people in the long term. And I know there are long-term unemployed, and we need to do more to help them get back to work. But expanding payments beyond what has already been slated is not the way to do it.
Okay. We'll agree to disagree on that one, Jono, but thanks for your time this afternoon. I really appreciate it, as always, and we'll talk to you again in a fortnight.
No, Martin, thank you very much, and look forward to catching up with you soon.